Hey, happy Sunday. Good morning. Welcome to On the Weekend Edition. I am your host, Brian Pettaway, and I will be with you for the next hour, as I am every Sunday morning at 9 a.m., giving you all of the news and current events from the past week. And today, I have a special guest, got a great lineup, as I do every week, actually. But today, I have a great show. I've got a young lady from the Baltimore area. You know, if you like great music, if you like music that makes you think, gets your vibe going, she's the one for you. Her name is Only One Theory. She'll be with me today as my guest interview today, and she's going to give us some insight as to how it is to start in this business, that it's not easy. It's not just being talented that'll get you where you need to go. You have to truly believe in yourself, believe in your abilities, have tenacity, have determination, and that never give up spirit. And once you get there, then you've got to stay there and maintain it. And she's going to tell us all of that stuff. So I can't wait for you guys to hear this interview. We've also got The Petty, and he's going to give us our NFL picks for this Sunday and also for Monday and Thursday of the upcoming week. You know, hopefully he'll put some money in your pockets like he always does each week. And of course, I'm going to start us off doing what I like to do the most, and that's give us current events and news from the past week. So I hope you're feeling great because I'm feeling great. I've got lots to talk about. So without further ado, let's get right into it. Now, most of us know that Tuesday, November 8th is Election Day. Now, some of us have already voted early, and that's great if you've done that. If you have not, please be prepared to vote on Tuesday. The polling stations open at 6 a.m. You need to get there. You need to vote. You need to make your voices heard. We need to show up. We need to show out. And we need to show that we do have power in our numbers. Don't let anyone tell you that your vote does not count, because it does. People would not be doing so much to try to keep you from voting. There would be no such thing as voter suppression if the vote did not matter. So please go out and vote. Now, I've been trying desperately, working with Wes Moore's team, to get another interview with him before the election. And we had one scheduled. But unfortunately, Wednesday evening, Wes Moore's grandmother passed away, 95 years old. And I got to tell you, my grandmother passed away 4 years ago at 94, and she was my everything. So when she passed away, my world stops. So I can imagine how that must feel. And I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to talk to anybody for at least a week or two. But I wrote to Wes the same thing many people told me at that time, that 94 years old, 95 years old is a celebration of life. And though Mrs. Winnell Thomas will be certainly missed by the Moore family and many others, we must also celebrate and recognize the abundance of life that Mama Wynn lived. But keep the Moore family, and Wes Moore in particular, in your thoughts and your prayers, and I certainly look forward to sitting down with Wes Moore at a later date. All right, so I want to start off by talking about the proverbial elephant in the room in Baltimore, and that is the squeegee kids. I never want to see youth without money. I want them to be able to work, be entrepreneurial in spirit, earn their wages, and make their money, right? Great. But the situation with the squeegee kids has become not only dangerous, but deadly in the intersections of Baltimore. They've become a nuisance, bullying. And it seems like the mayor is going about this the wrong way. I understand how he wants to be loyal to the youth, and he wants to inspire them and stand by them, and he doesn't want to cast them as another group of young black criminals. Or thugs. I get it. I get all of that. So what he did was he got together a group of people, a panel, as you will, and he's calling them the Collaborative. And they're supposed to get together and come up with a plan as to what to do about these squeegee kids. The problem is this Collaborative has been collaborating since July, and they still have not come up with a plan. And each time the mayor is asked about it, he says soon. I'll give you an answer very soon, but I cannot give you an answer until I get an answer from the Collaborative, which is very convenient, actually. Meanwhile, crimes are still being committed. Recently, at an event, the mayor dodged the question again.
Well, when I release the Squeegee Collaborative is when I go talk about the Squeegee Collaborative, and we're going to do that for you guys very soon.
Now, that is the voice of Brandon Scott. That is his running answer. And though he's not talking about it publicly, his office did put out a memo. And it said that the Collaborative came up with a couple of recommendations. Well, actually, three. Squeegee kids will come up with their own code of conduct and self-regulate. I don't know how that would happen. You got teenagers regulating themselves and a code of conduct, all right? You have a designated enforcement zone, which means they'll only be able to squeegee in certain areas, and those areas will be enforced. But by whom? And then the other one, which is kind of crazy to me, guaranteed income for squeegee kids not to squeegee. Now, squeegeeing, honestly, on the books, is unlawful. It's illegal. It's an illegal thing to do. How do you pay a salary, which was basically what it would be, to kids not to do something illegal? So the collaborative has been working together since July, and these are the recommendations that they've come up with. Now, let's talk about who the collaborative are. They are business owners, business leaders, community leaders, and a couple of squeegee workers themselves. Fine, I get it. Initially, it sounded like a great idea to bring these people together to come up with some ideas as to how to quell this problem. And that sounded like a great idea in July, but it's been since July. And this is not a problem that you can sit on, right? This is a potential powder keg ready to explode every single day. We've already had a motorist killed. We've had two squeegee workers themselves killed. We have crimes that are being reported every day. We have bullying and intimidation being reported every day. Just this past week, two teenage squeegee workers stole a cell phone from a motorist, cash-apped themselves from that motorist's cell phone, an undisclosed amount of money, but it was a lot, and in trying to avoid arrest, break into the basement of a local resident trying to hide. Cops come to the resident's home, guns drawn. She has no idea why, does not know that these teenagers are hiding in her basement, and it becomes a very dangerous and panicky situation for everyone. So it is not something that is in control. It's out of control, and it's been out of control for a little while now. And at some point, the mayor should stop and say, listen, we've got to pull these kids off of the street, keep them out of the intersections until we can come up with a plan. Or he needs to insert his wisdom and his leadership for which he was elected, and help to come up with a plan that could be implemented immediately that provides safeguards for both the motorists and the squeegee workers. But he has not done any of that. What he has done is he's put the onus completely on the collaborative, and he's run away from the press in regards to this problem. And believe me, it is a problem. And it's not just a problem that is well known in Baltimore. It has now become a problem that has become a problem that is well known around the nation. Tourists around the country have gotten the word about the squeegee kids and how they have killed a motorist, and all of a sudden Charm City doesn't appear to be as charming as it used to be, and tourists are choosing to go somewhere else. All right, enough about the squeegee kids, I'm sorry. Listen, also in the news, last week the organization that runs the 2022 Miss United States of America pageant recently won against Anita Green, who sued it for not accepting transgender women. A federal appeals court Wednesday ruled that beauty pageants can't be forced to accept transgender contestants, citing First Amendment expression considerations. Now, the case decided by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals comes amid a flurry of federal cases balancing freedom of speech and religion against transgender and sexual orientation discrimination concerns. Anita Green, who was transgender in 2018, aimed to compete in the Miss United States of America pageant, but was not allowed to because of its rules. The panel wrote that Green later took medication to alter hormone levels and underwent cosmetic surgery in which Green's male anatomy was reconstructed to appear as female anatomy. The court said that in late 2018, Green began messaging Miss United States of America's national director on Facebook about the company's Oregon pageant. That director, Tenise Smith, sent Green the pageant's rules. Among those rules was that the contestants must be natural-born female. That rule remains on the pageant's website as a qualification. Other rules for the pageant include that the contestant must not have previously posed nude, must be an American citizen, and must not have been convicted of a felony in the past. Green wrote to Smith, "You know I'm transgender, right? Your rules seem to discriminate against transgender women." According to court documents, Smith offered help to Green to find another pageant to compete in, but Green responded, "I'll talk to my attorney about this then, because discrimination is unacceptable." So Green sued, and a trial court ruled in favor of the Miss United States of America pageant. The Ninth Circuit Court panel Wednesday affirmed that ruling. Now, I don't know how you feel about it, but I personally don't have a problem with the ruling. I mean, if it's a Miss America pageant and the rules state you have to be a natural born woman, it is what it is. I don't find a problem with the ruling at all. What I think needs to happen, which is what I believe needs to happen in sports, is to have separate pageants, separate sporting events for transgendered people, which are not to be celebrated any more or less than any other pageant or sporting event. I think that would eliminate the concerns of unfairness in all of these conversations and lawsuits, and for the life of me, I can't figure out why that has not happened yet. Also, and unfortunately in the news, in La Plata, Maryland, the Charles County Sheriff's Department has ruled that the five deaths inside of that La Plata home are murder-suicide. Investigators announced early yesterday afternoon in a press release that suspect Andre Sales, 28 years old, entered the house along Wildflower Drive in the Agricopier neighborhood of his town. He shot and killed his 21-year-old ex-girlfriend, Sarah Mann, her brother, Kai Mann, 18, their mother, Somali Mann, an unidentified man, and Javon Watson, 23, of White Plains. Sales then took his own life. Listen, I, like most people in this world, have lost at love a time or two, and I've truly had my little feelings stomped, my heart crushed, gut punched, hit over the head with despair and disappointment. But what I've learned in my old age is that there are over 33 billion people in this world, 300 million of which live in this country. There is someone else out here for you. If she leaves you, if he leaves you, give it a little bit of time, soul search, and then allow yourself to be loved by somebody else the proper way. Do not resort to this kind of thing right here, because it's final. If you are struggling with the feeling of rejection to the point where you feel like you want to hurt someone or hurt yourself, dial 988 and talk to someone who will talk to you, who will give you advice, allow you time to vent, to soul search, get out your anger and your frustration through conversation, and calm you down. 988. That's it. You'll be fine. The other big story in the news this week, we got to talk about it. It is the Powerball jackpot of $1.6 billion. Now listen, if you hit, the drawing was last night. I don't know yet who won. I don't think any of us do yet. I don't even think the winner knows yet. But if you've won, I take donations all day long. I'm just saying, I take them. $1.6 billion. You can break me off 10%. You won't even notice, but it'll change my life. You hear what I'm saying? Be a good person. Hook a brother up. But no, the jackpot is the second largest in the history of the country. And the odds of winning are about 1 in 292.2 million. You have a greater chance of getting struck by lightning than you do by, you know, hitting the jackpot. But you do have a chance of winning. And I guess the more tickets you buy, the more you increase your odds, right? I was watching the news the other night, and a guy came out of the 7-Eleven, and he had spent $430 in lottery ticket purchases. Now, I want to win. I do. And I purchased a couple tickets myself. I won't lie. But don't worry. If I hit, I'm going to still be here every Sunday morning doing this show. Right. So anyway, he spent $430 in lottery ticket purchases. I'm not sure if I want to win that bad. You know what I mean? With the chances, the odds, the way that they are, would you spend almost $500 in lottery ticket purchases, regardless of the jackpot size? Let me know. Hit me up on IG at On with Brian Pettaway and let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about the transgender pageant story. And let me know about this one. How much, what would be the most you would spend on lottery ticket purchases, regardless of the jackpot amount? And finally, reluctantly, I must speak about Kanye West. Apparently, God has spoken to him and he has been humbled. Actually, it was the Jewish community that spoke to him, that humbled him. And according to the Rolling Stones magazine, when he was confronted by paparazzi, West said that he apologized for making anti-Semitic remarks. And he also apologized for falsely claiming that George Floyd died from fentanyl rather than Floyd suffocating from a police officer putting a knee on his neck, which caused his death. When the paparazzi confronted West about his anti-Semitic statements, he said he didn't realize that he was being anti-Semitic and that after having a meditation with Adidas, who has officially severed ties with the rapper, he came to some realizations and became humbled. In his convoluted conversation where he seemed to be making statements and walking them back simultaneously, he added that when I see that video as a black person, it hurts my feelings. And I know that police do attack, and America is generally racist. So when I questioned the death of George Floyd, it hurt my people. I want to apologize because God has showed me by what Adidas is doing, by what the media is doing, I know how it feels to have a knee on my neck now. So thank you, God, for humbling me and letting me know how it really felt. Because how could the richest black men ever be humbled other than to be made to not be a billionaire in front of everyone off of one comment? Now, far be it from me to talk about anybody's relationship with God. It's a very personal thing. But when his total wealth dropped from a reported $2 billion to around $500 million following his comments and his statements, I don't know if it was his God or his publicist that were telling him that perhaps an apology might help. All right, like I said, I'm very excited today. I've got only one theory here. Very happy to have her here, her taking her time out of her busy schedule to grace us with her presence. She is beautiful. She is homegrown. She is talented. Singer, songwriter, producer, and engineer. Only one theory. Theory, how you doing this morning?
How are you? I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I've been listening to your music, obviously, for a little while now, trying to get you involved in other projects, and you're doing amazing things. And I'm taken aback by how talented you actually are. It's amazing. The music has me bumping in my car. You can slow it down and be sensual. It's crazy to me. So I got to ask you, where did you grow up in the area?
So I actually came to Baltimore City when I was a teenager. I was 16. And my hometown is Cleveland, okay. Ohio. Mm-hmm. And the area of Baltimore that I grew up is actually right over on Greenmount 8. Everybody knows me from over that way, north in Greenmount.
Yeah, I went to high school right off of Greenmount, right over in St. Francis, off of Chase Street.
Okay, go yeah, Panthers, I got a couple Panthers. People St. Francis.
So look, how did growing up in Baltimore as a teen, how did it affect your music? Did you notice a style change between Cleveland and Baltimore?
Really, the cities are very similar, but it's definitely a style change. Baltimore is... To me, it's a mecca of music, meaning like house, dance, party, genres that people normally wouldn't, you know, associate or equate. You would think rap or, you know, just one genre and style. However, it's almost like a melting pot of music because you have the influences from down south.
Right.
You have the influences from New York. And then it's also just a very unique culture.
right. No, it is. No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
For sure. So to me, it is much different, though. You know, Midwest is what people don't realize about the Midwest is most people who live in the Midwest, their people came directly from like the South. So South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama. And a lot of those people move right up there. So it's very Southern, like, you know, when you hear people talk, like, even from Chicago, it's almost like a Southern accent, like St. Louis is very Southern, so that's like it's a huge difference, though, when it comes to, like, the house influence, like, the movement of just the way the sound is.
Now, where did you go to school here in BMO?
So, I actually went out to Dunbar briefly, and then I actually left to go to college. I went to Norfolk.
Okay.
Norfolk State in the 757.
I hear you. Down in the 757. Okay. So listen, a lot of artists who are really good artists, they really don't concern themselves with how good they are when they're younger. It just feels good to sing. It takes them out of whatever it is that they're in. Were you concerned about how good you were, or did it just feel good to sing when you were younger and write?
You know, that's an interesting that's interesting because so when I was younger, I did choir, I sang in church, in chorus, but I was not confident as a singer at all. I was more of a rapper. I had like bars and my whole goal was like, I remember I told my mother, I was like, I'm either going to play professional basketball, I'm gonna be a rapper.
Really?
Like, I those were the two things that I saw for myself. Being an athlete was a blessing in my life also. So even when it came to the music, I did everything. So I would play instruments. Like, my mother got me a guitar as a kid. I played the trumpet. I
Okay.
mean, from like elementary school through high school. So I did a lot. And my singing voice was something that I actually developed. And just even knowing that it was in me, in like the past couple years, like the past 5, 6 years.
That is interesting because you can sing. Like, it kills me that you say this because you can really sing. And I've always told people either you have it or you don't. You're saying that you didn't have it, but clearly you have it now. So that's kind of crazy to me.
I just, the craziest thing is I didn't know. I would be in the studio, and shout out Mr. Chuck. When I was a teenager, he would let me come into his studio. Me and a group of my friends, we got to go in there, and we would just, play around. And so rapping was like what I thought I wanted to do, but it was like on my rap songs, it would be like, okay, well, maybe your voice could be a little harder. So I would try to make it harder, but I'm like, yo, the actual tone of my voice, right? So, and then so it's like, okay, well, what do I do? Because I'm trying these things, and it's just like what it is. And I still have bars, which is how I even kind of came about Wave and B, because I'm like, okay, well, I'm not a belter, I've always, and I grew up in a very musical household. So like Sade, people like her, Michelle, Indio Giacello, and Michael Franks, heavy jazz influence on my mother. So it's like I always grew up listening to different types of sounds. So I never thought I had to fit into one space, but singing was just something I didn't realize I could even do until I just, was like, I'm gonna do it. And I got on YouTube to do some vocal lessons,
Are you
some
serious
vocal
right
work.
now?
I taught myself how to sing on
You
YouTube,
gotta
and
be
then,
kidding me, right?
yo, I can't make it up. And I actually met, so about 3 years ago, I was in Philly, and I got to work with Cookie Diario, my vocal coach, and she's the first vocal coach I ever worked with in person outside of, like, church.
You're gonna have all my listeners on YouTube
Yes, let me tell
today
you,
learning how to sing. Watch.
I did. I was like, because I just did the same music theory, like with the instrument. Every day I need to do my scales, so I got online and did those, and just my online vocal coaches. I never met y'all, but I love y'all. You know what I
Right,
mean?
right, right. Crazy. So listen,
Yes.
you said that jazz. Tell me about Wave and B. Like, where did that come from? What's that all about?
Yeah, so Wave and B is really, it's a blend of actual genres, but truth and essence, it's soul. To me, it is soul music, because even the way that I create Wave and B, so before I make a song, I don't pre-write my lyrics.
Okay.
I go to the microphone, and I produce it also, so I kind of feel what I'm feeling inside, and it can be something that I could, that I've seen, something that somebody's going through, or just something that is put into my spirit that I need to say. Like, I tap into my inner voice, and that kind of leads the music,
Interesting.
truly. And that actually happened, like in 2018, man. That year was wow.
Really?
2018, 2019, yes. Prior to that time, I always wrote my music, like writing, which I'm a great writer. I write still, to this day, but I left Baltimore, went out to New York, and just thought I was about to sign like these major record deals, right? And started working with some people, and it just was not right. Everything about, what my spirit was telling me to move, it was against who just who I was.
Was it that they wanted you to do something that you didn't want to do, or present yourself in a style that wasn't you? Like, what didn't feel right?
Both. Okay. Both. Whereas, you know, that's definitely been a major part of it, is me being in charge of how I present myself, which now, you know, I'm so cool and confident and comfortable in who I am. Like, it's like I would never, but I look at these times where, you know, it was actually a blessing.
Okay.
But yeah, it was that. And then it was also just bad business. Just reading, like, you know, before I sign something, I have to read it. You know, and I just saw through what it was. It was a lot of control.
Well, you said something that's very, very important, because a lot of artists, especially young artists, they're so happy with the thought of being with a record label that they don't sign, they don't read what they sign. And what you just said is a huge part of the problems with how young artists are being ripped off. Did you have someone to read for you? Did you have an attorney, or did you just go over everything on your own? What would you recommend to someone just starting out?
So I actually, that has been like my second my second time, because there have been times before where I had completely gotten ripped off. As I got my start in industry work, as an engineer.
Oh, really?
As an engineer and producer. I went to Sheffield, which is like outside of Baltimore, outside of Towson, mm-hmm. Phoenix. And so much love, Sheffield. That's where I went to school at also. And so that's how I started doing, like, that's how I got on the song with Yo Gotti, those type of things. But it was the people that I was working with on the back end, I didn't read and I didn't know. So I had been through those times to get to that point where, you know, when everything started happening with the major labels, I knew to read before I signed. Okay. And I did get a lawyer. So the first thing I would tell an artist is you should always have a music attorney. And if you can't necessarily afford one, because they are not cheap, then you have to teach yourself what you need to know, like educate yourself just regarding contracts and agreements, the difference between a contract and an agreement, and how to read and get in the know with the language. Like, now I can read legal, you know, contracts and text myself.
Okay.
And get a gist of what the language is that they're saying. And then I also do have a lawyer. He's awesome.
That is awesome.
So, but I definitely had a lawyer look through that stuff.
No, you should. You should.
Yeah.
Not to confuse.
Just even off reading it.
Yeah, not to confuse your lawyer with a manager, because not every manager is a lawyer, and certainly not every lawyer is a manager, but you also have a manager that's very, very good as well. So you've got a team, correct?
Yeah, so I do. And Maria and I, we're more like partners.
Okay.
She's my rep. She's my partner. She's my right hand, because it takes that. And with me, you know, being so focused on the creative aspect, she does a lot in that realm of making sure I'm in the right places and spaces. So it does take a team, and we have a small team. But it is just what it needs to be.
Right.
You know, the bases are covered. So,
well, here's the other thing. You talking about teams, you're strong in the LGBTQ community and well known. What's your tie to that? How did that begin for you?
You know, it's interesting, because I am a lesbian, and okay. I've always been a lesbian. So I've always been tied into just that aspect of myself. And is in the past, you know, I say 5 years is marketed now, you know, as mm-hmm. like something that's cool, something that is, you know, it's more like in the media portrayed to be something that when you live the life, when you're living the life, it's like it's nothing like that. So with me, it being a woman, I love women. It's always been, you know, who I am. But it doesn't define, like, that's such a, I feel like such a small percentage of, you know, people, meaning like my music is universally for everybody, you know,
Yeah, it
even
is.
though,
'Cause I'm gonna be
you
honest with
know,
you.
like,
I'm listening to your music as a guy, and it's very, very sexy to me. It's very
that's
sexy to me.
it.
It's so
And that's
crazy.
what I wanted to actually be, is I want to create that balance, you know, in the world. Is like, if it's like, if everything is on a wave where, you know, savage time, like, and not to knock nothing anybody does. I like, you know, I appreciate art for art. But there also needs balance, like, and I like being that balance, you know.
Okay. Well, you travel quite a bit as well. What are some of your favorite places that you've played?
Oh man, I love, let's see, North Carolina, Charlotte is lit. New York is lit. Philly is lit. Philly is lit on a whole different level, because people in Philly literally do what they want. Like, I love it. Like, Philly is so wild. In a dope way, though, you know, it has an energy. Jamaica. Let's see.
How long did you play in Jamaica?
Only a show.
Okay.
But it was dope. Let's see. Just a lot of places. I have to really think.
Right.
I've done so much, a lot of times. Oh, Richmond. Richmond was lit. VA always shows so much love. 757.
Right. Well, you spend a lot of time
Mississippi.
there. Mississippi.
Mississippi was lit.
Really?
Yo, yes.
That shocks
Mississippi was
me.
off the hook.
That shocks me. Where
I
were you in
know.
Mississippi?
Oh my goodness. Jackson, and
Jackson.
I was also in this outskirt town. I cannot tell you what studio this was. College boy, what up? Because you know where we were. But I know we were in Jackson. That's where
Okay.
the show, the meet, everything was in Jackson. But when we went to that studio, I was like, Mississippi is on another level. And people were cool. I was afraid, like, initially, like, you know, just what we think of the Deep South.
Yeah, they have a
But
reputation.
man, those people were so lit. I was like, oh, this is crazy. So I have to
Okay.
say, I'm grateful. As I attract good experiences, like, you know, with just when I'm out and about.
Usually good energy attracts good energy, though. You know what I mean? I mean, I believe that. I mean, I really do. Let me ask you something. The music that you produce and that you write, it's crazy to me that you said that you don't write your lyrics first. Like you do the music first, or you just feel it, and then it just comes to you with the music. That's crazy. I mean, I have not heard yet that before. The other thing is, what are your hopes for your music? What do you hope that it changes, or that it influences, or that it does? And where do you hope to take it?
I know that what I'm doing is a divine, like, purpose. And I know that the reason why I even have this talent and this gift of music is to truly touch lives in ways that, you know, I don't even think I could grasp right now.
Okay.
You know, like, I have what I want, you know, as an artist, which is to, you know, of course, break barriers, be a name that everyone knows, have music that when people, you know, they feel something, like, oh, I feel this, okay, cool, let me tune into her, like, let me bop on some Only One Theory. But even deeper than that, I want to change things. Like, I want to be able to get Brittany Griner home. Like,
Okay.
there's certain things I
Okay.
want to do. that are powerful. So it's deep to me, like, and it's fun. Like, this is so dope. Like, the music, like the business side of it, it takes a lot of perseverance, and this is what I don't want anyone to get twisted. Like, it's a very spiritual thing. Like, I met this woman and about 10 years ago, and she told me, I don't even know if it was that long ago, but she told me that everything, all this is spiritual. And she said, the moment that you really start tapping in, like, to you, it's going to change everything. And especially as an artist, which is different than an entertainer, like, you know, which I love entertaining. Like, I love being on stage and things like that. You know, people like to see a show, and I like doing that also. But at the same time, the purpose of art is deep. And I am much so more of an artist than anything else that encompasses being that. And it is deep. So that's really what I want people to feel, is just a vibe. Like, I'm a real person. I never want to be trapped in my celebrity. Meaning, like, I always want to be able to move how I like to move and do what I like to do. And I like being low-key, like how Prince was. Prince always did stuff, and nobody ever knew what Prince was doing.
That is,
like,
correct. That's very, very true.
You know what I mean?
Very,
like,
very
these
true.
People like
He's
that.
He's a very,
like,
mysterious cat. He was a very mysterious guy.
Yeah, you know, he was, I mean, cool. He just popped up, like, yo. So,
how do you, at what point did you figure out, hey, I can do this for a living. This is what I want to do for a living, for my life. And then how did you move in that direction? Because a lot of people, there's a lot of talented people out here. There are a lot of artists out here that want to be able to do what you're doing, but they're either afraid or they can't catch their break, don't know what avenues to go. What transition did you make from one thing to another to allow you to be able to do this for a living?
I was in a place in my life where I had nothing. Mm-hmm. Meaning, like, no money. the only thing I had, I was about to get kicked out of my place. The only thing I had was my MacBook and my mic. And I was like, this is when, you know, I got up to New York and had to move because I couldn't live there.
Right.
I said no, and I cried for like 2 days, and I prayed. And really, I said the creator just came to me, like, was like, I just felt something in my spirit was like, no. I won't. And I got up. I had like a little bit of gas, I think, in my car, which that shit was about to get. Oh, excuse me. I don't know.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay.
That was about to get repo too. And I put in an application to drive for Lyft. And what ended up happening was I opened up my MacBook. I made some music, and that was the first time I made a song without writing it. It was called Fallback. And I put in the application to drive Lyft. They accepted me. I was like, oh my goodness. So I drove Lyft. I got enough money to put a little more gas in the car. Did that and ended up Lyft ended up sending out an email. It's like a month later.
Right.
And it was like, we want to hear your story. And I was so done.
Are you serious?
I was like, man, y'all want to hear my story? I have a story to tell. Yeah, it's the craziest thing. So I just told my story, like everything I had been through, like, you know, on my art, like making music and everything like this. And Lyft contacted me and was like, hey, we want to feature you.
No.
I was like, what? Yeah. So they ended up featuring me on Lyft and ended up bringing me up to Brooklyn, introducing me to Ashanti, and I got to meet her.
Wow.
And I got to meet some incredible people who were life-changing for me.
That's amazing. That's crazy.
And put me, help me, you know, to see and realize, you know, what just what I had. And so that's how I even got my label started, you know, a lot of things got in place.
Did your identity, your sexual identity, do you feel like it either helped or kept you from things, or do you think it's something that doesn't even matter at this point in time these days?
Well, now, no, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. But before, like in 2017, 2016, 2015, my goodness, yes.
Really?
Like I would show up in sweats, you know, and be told that I had to change. I would have like managers who I had to have a certain look, because it was competitive. It was still that era where, you know, you have to be the girl that appeals to guys, you know, that women want to be like, men want to, you know.
Right.
And that was still like a thing, like even in the 2015, it's like.
That's crazy to me. I didn't think that. I mean, I didn't think that this far. I mean, this late in time, you were still having to deal with that.
Oh, yeah. Like, most definitely.
Did you acquiesce? Did you follow through with that? Or did you just decide, no, I'm not going to change, or I'm just going to be who I am?
Well, the dope thing about it is everywhere I went, I always had my girlfriend with me. So I was always with my, who I was talking to, so it was never like that, you know, where I ever had to compromise myself in that aspect. But in regard to my image, yeah, like I could say a couple times, like, you know, for shows, we had to get you your wardrobe, your outfits. One time there was a designer, I had a photo shoot, or actually it turned into a video shoot. And this was like a $100,000 shoot.
Okay.
And it's like, do you say no? You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know what you're saying. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot
like,
of pressure.
Damn. You know, people, you know, they put this together. But at the same time, it wasn't me. So it got to the point where, you know, I just say, hey, you know, after this, I'm done. Like, I'm not. And so, you know, and a lot of times you deal with egos, and that even just comes from just being a woman, period. You know, you deal a lot with the male ego, but there's a paradigm shift happening. And I'm grateful that we are a part of it. Just even in the industry, a lot of things are shifting, happening. A lot of things are being exposed. People are seeing things differently.
Correct.
So, you know, it's dope. Like, I'm so grateful for this time now. Like, yeah.
Well, I'm gonna ask you something for me, because I gotta know. My favorite song of yours, I think I told you, was Lemonade, right?
Hey.
How did that come about? Because it's like such a cleverly written song. Like, how did you come up with the lyrics for that song and the beat? Because the beat is killing.
Oh man, thank you. Pink Lemonade. So nobody would really know. I am I think I'm a reserved person presenting, and I kind of have an air of seriousness about me, but I am funny. Like, I am a goofball, and a lot of times when I'm making music or songs, I'm very playful. Like, okay. So really, I cannot tell you where that came from. I know even I was messing with Maria. We were playing, because, you know, she, even in the song, she's Jamaican and Puerto Rican.
Right.
So we were just like geeking. We were in the studio, like laughing, having fun. And I'm just saying stuff, and she's like, yo, like, so, I mean, it was just really playful.
It is a fun
just
song.
Fun. Yeah, because I'm like, I want to make something people could, like, a club banger.
And it sticks in my head, like, Like, it's one of them all day songs that sticks. You know, you hear something and it stays in your head all day. I'm like, I got to do something to combat this because it's in my head like all day. It's crazy, but I love it.
So perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to do.
Oh, is that right? Mission accomplished on that one.
Mission accomplished. For real. You hear me?
So,
yes.
So what's your schedule like these days? Like, where can people hear you? Where can they see you? What are you trying? What are you working on? New projects, things like that?
Yeah, so it's a lot. So right now I am working on, I have musical Models in the City, mm-hmm. which Maria is also, she's a cast member on there. So I want to make sure everybody tunes into that. Okay. For sure. And also we signed a dope new artist. His name is Mikey Blue. He's also on that show. So I would like everybody like to definitely tune out. I had to plug, get some shout outs.
What's the name of the show?
For that, Models in the City.
Models in the City. And where can that be seen?
So it was on the CW network. I know that they're revamping for 2023.
Okay.
That's dropping. My music is on it'll also be on a movie, Wish, with B. Danielle. And she's super, super talented, incredible director, producer, writer, makes great movies. I also got an opportunity, which you know, with Linnea.
Yeah.
So beautiful, we'll be beautiful working scars, with her.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man. That trailer was lit. So,
isn't it, though?
Yeah.
I'm so proud of Linnea. Shout out to Linnea Jordan, right out of Baltimore as well.
Definitely.
I'm glad you guys linked up. I'm so happy about that.
Oh, man. I'm excited. Like, that's dope. So, like, that's a lot of production, movie work, commercial work is going on. Oh, Baffin. I just did a co-publishing agreement with Baffin. Mm-hmm. They're out of Virginia to get some stuff placed. Let's see. I just dropped a single in partnership with Universal, Don't Play Me.
Okay.
So that's out. I did a double drop on Rare Gold Music Group with no other
levels.
And I'm also prepared for another double drop. I'm going to do an Only One Theory versus Only One Theory. I'm going to do a show off versus Stick Around. So I'm preparing for that. So really everything is just Only One Theory. A lot of things are moving right now.
Now, have
and
you done?
I stay busy.
Do you do any collab work with any other artists?
Oh yeah, most definitely. I love collaborating with artists.
Okay.
And if anybody is interested in working with me, I am particular.
about, right.
You know who I collab with. I'm not necessarily. If people talk about things like killing people, like shooting ops and things like that, mm-hmm. then I'm not
that's
the artist
not
to collab with
right,
you.
Right, that's awesome.
But if you talk about catching a vibe and like life and, moving, because life is so dynamic, I'd rather just focus on the high vibrational stuff because we see the lower parts, like we live in it. We hear this on the news, so.
Right.
If an artist, if you want something like lit, then definitely reach me. At Rare Gold Music Group.
Rare Gold Music Group. Okay.
Yep, Rare Gold Music Group.
Now, I listen to you on YouTube. Where is that the only place where I can? Because that's where I download you from. I listen to you on YouTube all the time. Where can other people find you? Where's another place where we can find you? Are you Spotify or?
Oh yeah, okay. Everywhere. Spotify. Any streaming platform.
Okay.
You can think of even in we just got our music added to in China.
I'm talking about. Okay,
let me tell you, they have some streaming networks out there overseas. Mm-hmm. So I focus a lot on the overseas market too, even internationally. We have a partnership. We marketed some stuff out in Spain, France, It's popping Germany. Yeah, all y'all have to do really is just type in only one theory. With the number one though,
Okay.
I'm still trying to get Google and the robots to populate when people type in, only
When they spell it
one
out, yeah.
when they spell it out, right?
Right. Well,
But
look, I am so appreciative that you. I know you're busy, you're all over the place, and you got a lot of stuff going on. So you giving me this time today has really made me happy, and I'm really appreciative of it. And you are killing it, and
oh,
just keep
Brian.
killing it. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so
And
much. I'm grateful for you as well, and your platform and what you're doing for the city, like and putting on for the artists. Like, you're awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate that. It's my pleasure. Absolutely. Well, you keep doing what you're doing. I'm going to get in touch with Maria, and your gatekeeper and your
Yes.
biggest fan and your cheerleader and rooter and all that stuff and hard worker.
She
And
the
she's the one, man. She's
plug.
on
I'm
it.
telling.
She's on it. So you picked a good one. So I'm going to get in touch with her, get some other projects for you, and I'll be following you and I'll be letting people know where you are as much as I can. But so, thank you so much for coming on today. You're an amazing talent.
Hey, thank you, Brian.
All right, you take care of you, okay?
You too.
All right,
And
ladies and gentlemen.
everybody vibrate high.
There you go. There you go. All right,
Hey.
we'll be talking.
Okay, peace.
All right, bye. Well, there goes the music, and it can only mean one thing. It is time for the Petty. Let's give him a holler. See what he's got going for us this Sunday as far as his NFL picks and for the rest of the week, Monday and Thursday. Let's see what he's got to say, especially about my Ravens. I want to see if he picks them for a third week in a row, which would mean to me that he is definitely coming over to the purple and black. So let's give the Petty a holler. See what he's got to say this week.
Brother B, good morning to you.
Good morning to you, sir. What's up, Petty? How you doing this morning?
I'm doing just great,
Good,
man.
good,
I hope
good.
everything's well there in Baltimore.
Everything's good, my man. I am just telling my listeners, man, they heard the music, so they knew it was time for you. What you got for this week?
Well, first of all, let me tell you something. There were some bittersweet moments in Philadelphia on Thursday when those Phillies was probably cost them the World Series by losing at home on Thursday evening. But on the flip side of that, since this is about football, we're going to talk about those Pigeons, those Eagles, who are now 8-0.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, man. It's hard to believe.
Well, I would have to say they are the front runners for the Super Bowl this year. So with that
And they
being
didn't
said,
even play a good
let's
game,
just,
and they still won.
yeah, they didn't look too good, but they did what they had to do to pull it out. So we're going to start with this 1 o'clock slate because we have some good ones going on this week.
All
And
right.
we're going to start with those lightning bolts from LA, the Chargers going down to Atlanta to see the Dirty Birds. You know what? I kind of like this Falcon team. They are leading the NFC South, and they might just win that division. So I'm looking at taking Atlanta at home over the Chargers.
Okay. All right.
Next up, you have the Dolphins going to the Windy City to see the Chicago Bears. The Bears have lost a lot of players. As a matter of fact, the Ravens picked up one of the Bears. Nice linebacker, Roquan Smith.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that team. They look pretty good, and then they got rid of some decent players. So I don't know. So I like Miami. I don't know what's going on with that Bear team right now. But I like Miami going into Chicago to defeat the Bears.
Okay.
Next up, you have the Panthers going to Cincinnati to play the Bengals. A pair of cats that are going to try to fight it out. Let me tell you something. I think the Super Bowl hangover is still going on with Cincinnati because they have not been looking good. And Joe Burrow has been probably sacked more than any other quarterback in the NFL this season.
What happened to their offensive line, man? They had a pretty good offensive line last year.
Well, I don't know what's going on up there in Cincinnati. And even though they are having some problems, I really don't think Carolina can go in and beat them in the jungle. So I'm going to take the Bengals in that cat fight over the Panthers.
All right, all right.
Next up, I would like to make this my upset special, but because I like those pesky Lions, but I don't know. I don't know. They're playing Green Bay, and this is another divisional game, and you got the Cheeseheads going into Detroit, which is not a long trip for them. And Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers have not looked good at all so far this season. But Detroit finds ways to lose. They play well, and then they just find ways to lose. So I like those cheeseheads going in and playing and beating up on those pesky Lions.
Okay. All right.
Well, it used to be a divisional game, but since Indianapolis, which used to be Baltimore, moved out of division. We're talking about Indianapolis Colts going to see New England. And Mac Daddy Jones will get one more shot before he's benched. So I like New England at home against the Colts. This would be the Battle of New York, but one of those teams play in Jersey. And I'm talking about Buffalo going to see those J-E-T-S, Jets. And that's a big game. To me, it's a big game. It might be an upset, but those hot, wild wing Bills.
The Jets aren't going to beat the Bills, like, man.
They're force. I like the Jets. I like what they're doing right now, but I don't think they can handle Buffalo.
No, they're not going to beat the Bills.
I like Buffalo going into Jersey and beating the Jets at home.
Okay.
Next up, here is my upset special. And I told you, I like Star Trek, but I'm not a Captain Kirk fan of those Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota goes to Landover, Maryland to play the Commanders. And I'm going to take Heineke.
Oh.
And the Commanders to upset the Vikings.
I don't know about that one. I like Heineke a lot, and I think he's well due, overdue to be starting for the Commanders, but I don't see him beating the Vikings. I don't see that happening.
The Vikings are a suspect and quiet 6-1 team, but you know what? They're going into DC. I'm sorry, into Maryland, and that's my upset special for the day.
Okay,
take the Commanders over the Vikings.
It will definitely be an upset. I don't see it happening, and I like Heineke. And, you know, I like the receiving core for the Commanders, but I don't like McLaurin, but I don't see them beating the Vikings.
That's my upset special to say other than that.
Okay.
And lastly, on the 1 o'clock slate, we have the Raiders traveling to Jacksonville. That game right there is a big question mark because I can't figure out either one of these teams. The Raiders should look better than what they do. I thought Jacksonville had something going on, and both of those teams have just been coming up short. So that's a toss-up. It's a coin flip. And my coin comes up in favor of the Raiders beating Jacksonville in Florida.
Okay. All right.
So we only have two games on the 4 o'clock slate, and that's Seattle, the Battle of the Birds. You got those sea chickens.
Right.
Going to see the Red Birds in the desert. And Arizona needs a win at home. Man, I feel sorry for those fans coming out every week and supporting their team in that beautiful stadium, and they just disappoint them. You got Kyler Murray running around for his little big head self, trying to make things happen. But you know what? They got DeAndre Hopkins back, and that might be the difference. So I like Arizona at home over Seattle.
All right.
And the other game would be the Rams going to Tampa. Wow. Both of those teams have been a big disappointment in the NFC this year. And maybe since Tom Brady has his divorce finalized, he might start playing football. So I like Tampa over the Rams. Lastly, on Sunday's slate, we had that 8 o'clock game with Tennessee traveling to Kansas City. Kansas City's tough to beat at home. That place is rocking all the time. They say there's one of the loudest stadiums that you can play in. And Tennessee is like, they look good, and then sometimes they don't. And Kansas City, I think they're putting it all together now. They're getting some new pieces. And I like the Chiefs over the Titans.
Okay. Did I hear you right? Did you say you picked Tampa over the Rams? Is that what you said?
Yes, I did.
All right. I don't agree with that pick, but okay.
And finally, to round out week 9, we have your Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Those Angry Birds going down to the Big Easy to play the Saints in the Dome in New Orleans.
And
I paused before I made my pick because I want the suspense to, you know, build up, because I know which way you think I'm going to go. But I'm not taking the Saints. I like what I'm saying.
Oh,
these Ravens.
Am I hearing 3 weeks in a row?
I like the Ravens over the Saints.
3 weeks
in
a row. In
New Orleans.
I told my listeners, if you pick the Ravens, you're coming over to the Purple and Black. It's official. You're coming back home. You're coming to the Purple and Black. So this is the third week in a row.
Listen, all I'm going to say is when it comes to the Ravens and me donning the Purple and Black and, you know, moving over to that side of the fence, never more.
Oh, jeez.
And on the Thursday night game, you have those Dirty Birds going to Carolina. This is a Dirty South game, down in the South.
Right.
Divisional game. And you know what? It's strange because the Panthers got rid of a lot of good players and their coach, who they fired, but they've been playing pretty well. The Falcons, who right now are leading that division, are also playing well. That's going to be a fight. That might be one of the better Thursday night games outside of Baltimore and Tampa. This one might be a good Thursday night game next week. So with that being said, I'm looking for the Panthers to upset the Falcons next Thursday.
All right.
There you have it, Brother B. Those are my picks for the week.
Well, I
appreciate some things
you
don't agree with.
No, I don't. That, especially that Tampa Rams game. I don't see that happening. I think the Rams are actually going to smash the Buccaneers. I do. Brady doesn't look good at all. His receivers are dropping simple passes. I just don't see it.
Well, you know, Brady's seen every defense there is out there. Yes, Aaron Donald is a monster in the middle for that defense for the Rams. But you know what? There's a big weakness in the Rams secondary, and his name is Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey? He's one of the premier corners in the game.
It seems like Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuels and a tight end named George Kittle finds ways to just get around that guy.
I don't think we will see.
The DB that they think he is.
We shall see.
Tampa over the Rams.
We'll see, my man. We'll see.
Well, there you have it, Brother B. Love the show. Love the topics. Love your guests.
Appreciate you, brother. Thanks for coming on this week.
Have a wonderful week. Peace.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye. All right, well, that is the end of another hour. You heard the Petty. Place your bets, put your money down, get some money in your pockets. Also, thank you so much to the beautiful and talented homegrown Only One Theory. Check out her music on Spotify. Check out her videos like I do on YouTube. However you listen to her, just make sure you support her. Let's propel our sister to where she's supposed to be, and that is at the top. And it starts right here at home. Let's give her all of our support. Also, get at me on IG, at On with Brian Pettaway. Let me know what you think of the show. I always love and read the feedback. It helps me grow. It helps the station grow. It helps the show grow, obviously. Sonia Scott Bushrod, God bless you. I love you. You and your husband are special people. Thank you for sending me something and giving me comments every single week. I read them. I love them. Thank you very, very much. They simply help me and the show get better and grow, and I appreciate them so much. Also, for the last time, Tuesday, November 8th, get out and vote. The polling stations open at 6 a.m. Do not be deterred, distracted, or intimidated. Make sure that you are heard. Show up in numbers. Bring your neighbor, bring your coworker, bring your child if they're old enough, but make your voices heard. Do not be one of the ones who complain that nothing is changing and then do nothing to help make the change happen. Get out there and vote. And as I say every week, enjoy this Sunday, relax, do nothing. But the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. Get up tomorrow morning with a mindset of conquering the world. That's what I do every Monday. Enjoy the week. I'm out of here. Peace.